just want to start out by reading this verse. It says in Deuteronomy 10:12, "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul." And that's what we really want to find out. How has God shaped us? And then how does He want us to serve Him and bring glory to His name? Last week we talked about how you guys are created and shaped, and that God has created you as special and significant. Now, look at the guy next to you, the person. You are special, uniquely shaped, okay? And we know that God has said that in the beginning He has created you in His image. So when you look in the mirror we had here last week, you've seen a piece of God. Also, you're special because God has saved you. He has saved you not by the righteous works you've done, but by His mercy and by His grace. Praise the Lord. And also, in Ephesians 2:9-10, we see this aspect that God has saved us through faith by grace. But why did He do that? Verse 10 says, because you are His workmanship, or God's work, created to do good works, which He had decided beforehand. So He knew that you were going to be instrumental in part of His whole kingdom purposes. You are special. And this aspect that we had a picture here last week, and we said, you know, He didn't just create you just to hang there on a wall and have people look at you. He's created you to serve Him, and He's created you to serve others. 1 Peter says this. Go ahead and hit it, Richard. It says, each one of you, use whatever gift you've been given to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So, God has given you a ministry. You are ministers, and that's what you do. You minister for God and to others. And last week we talked about the whole vacuum thing, that you weren't just created to consume, and we talked about how busy we get. And you really can't hear what's going on because you're doing so many things. But you weren't created just to consume. You are a contributor, okay? To contribute to the world. And that's what we're going to do. Discover, hopefully, our shape and also the ministry God wants us to do. Does anybody remember what shape stood for? What's the F? Spiritual gift. The H? Heart or passion, the A, abilities, P, personality, which is always interesting. People have different personalities, and you know, it's kind of hard to figure out. And last one, the E, experiences. And you're not going to find anyone in here with the same set of experiences, because God has put you in your skin, and you're going through life experiencing Him and what He gives you as you go. Now, why do we need to discover our shape? And last week we talked about from 1 Peter 4:10, 11, talks about, one, to give glory to God. This is what it says. Again, each one of you, you use whatever gift you've been given to serve others, faithfully ministering God's grace in its various forms. Goes on, and at the end it says, so then all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and power forever and ever. So that's what we're doing. Purpose is to give Him the glory. The second purpose is to best understand where we can serve Him. Last week we talked about two ways to serve. One, you serve where there's a need. Okay, you can't just say, man, you know, my personality is total introvert, so I'm never going to share the gospel with anyone. No, we don't do that. We serve where we are needed. Second, though, we need to serve where we're shaped. And how we're shaped will determine that. And what's awesome is that when we serve how God wants us to serve and how we're shaped, we're going to bring delight to God. We're going to bring delight actually to ourselves. And we're going to be bringing delight to the people around us. That's a lot of delight, huh? Today, we're going to look at Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Examine this scripture and talk a little bit. This is a parable, and we'll go back and examine some of this, but this is how Jesus shared it. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money. To another, 2 talents. And to another one, 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gave 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. See, the man with the 2 talents also came. He said, master, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained you 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. I went out and hid your talent in the ground. But see, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him. Give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he who will have in abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When I read those last words, what comes to my mind is, ouch. This story is about investing. Investing. Do you invest your life, what God has given to you? Or do you waste it? Do you invest it, or do you waste it? Now, if we go back up to verse 14, 2 slides up, verse 14 has a lot in it. It says, again, it will be like. What is it? Okay? If we look in our Bibles, which I hope you have with you, you go back to the beginning of chapter 25 and before that, and the very first verse in 25 is another story about 10 virgins who have lamps, and they're waiting for God to return, and some of them run out of oil, some don't. But in the very first verse there, it says, at the time, the kingdom of heaven will be like. This parable is about the kingdom of heaven, God's kingdom, the eternal kingdom. And it also says in verse 1 there, again, it will be like a man. Who is this man? Okay? We see that down in verse 19, along kind of the master of those servants. He's called a master. It's one that owns much. And this is referring to God. And the servants are you and I. We go down a little bit more in verse 14. He called his servants, entrusted or gave his property to them. God is giving to each of his servants his property or his resources. And he's calling them to then be responsible for them. And he's given each of us something to invest. It's very much understood that these servants should be investing the master or God's resources. Down in verse 15, we see that he doesn't just give it randomly. He gives it according to their abilities. He knows who they are. He knows how they can invest. And he knows the same about you and I. Verse 16 and 17 is the response. The guy has come and he's given out. See, these are not talents. Okay? Talent was a weight of money that was given much, much, much more than these kids' sequence things. But he's given them out, five to the one. He's given two to the other. And he's given one to the last guy. And he's saying, how will you respond? What has God given to you? Some of you, he's given a little bit more, even as you're young. Some of you, as you have grown, you've increased and you have more. Responsibility. How will you use them? So verse 16 and 17 shows the man who received five talents and went out, put his work to money. I mean, his money to work. It's two, he goes out. But the last guy, he's going out and he's hiding it. He's going to keep it safe. Questions for us. Are you investing your talents? Are you investing what God has given to you? Or are you burying it? Are you wasting it? I think a second question with this is, maybe you're investing, but are you investing in God's kingdom? Because this is what this whole chapter is about. God's kingdom. Now, last week we talked about four areas that we can invest in. And I thought of an acronym for this, CHOW. C-H-O-W. Your church. Are you investing in God's kingdom in the church? H, your home. Home is a huge kingdom investment. Are you investing in your home? Your parents, your brother, sister, your children. Do you even think of them like that? Something or someone to invest in? Or you just see them as a resource to gain something from? In our occupation, are you investing your shape, what God has given to you, in your very occupation? And last of all, the world. Some of you have world concepts. For some of us, it's a little bit difficult to see the entire world and how we invest in it. But we have to be thinking about these four areas. I think God really wants people to step up more. I think He is looking for Christian businessmen to be involved in the business world, to struggle through it, to get people, anybody know in California, In-N-Out Burgers? Okay? Good. Shakes. Real good. I don't know if they do it anymore, but they used to have scriptures on the bottom of their cups. You could read a bit of the scriptures on there. Chick-fil-A. Okay? Another one. And part of their mission, to glorify God and enrich the lives of everyone we touch. I don't know how they're actually enriching them or what have you, but the fact is, they want to glorify God. Christian businessmen, Christian singers and musicians. Remember this one heavy metal, kind of reggae, heavy metal rock band, POD. Anybody know them? Yeah, Payable Upon Delivery. And they would open up for the secular, wild, crazy bands like Korn, and they would get crowd ready or what have you, but they would testify sometimes about Jesus, and people would like be throwing stuff at them, screaming at them. But Christian singers, musicians, using their talents for God. Christian film producers. Our media affects us deeply. How can you use your shape to be impacting and influencing the world around us? Some of us old people used to watch Family Ties, and they had the famous guy, was it Kirk Cameron? Is anybody connecting here? Okay, Brandon. Yeah, I was a little bit young, but I saw it. Okay. He now comes out and very much uses his acting, film producing, to create movies. Like, I think he was in Fireproof with the whole marriage thing and helping people just understand, hey, when marriage gets tough, you need to get tougher. You need to really persevere through it. God wants us to use our shape, Christian politician. And I want to say, if there's anyone in here that thinks they can go into politics and would like to, let me know. I'd like to get people praying for you. I think it has to be probably the most difficult area that you could go into to keep your walk. When everybody's whispering in your ear, hey, help me out in this. Hey, help me out over here. And you're trying to stay on course, but still keep your job also. That's difficult. God is looking for simply Christian mothers and fathers who would have time possibly to come and sit down at the dinner table with their children and say, this is important because we are a family. Let us pray. Let us discuss life. Let us reason together as they get older. Mothers and fathers. Christians using their shape to invest into the world and influence it for God. I love that whole Johannes Gutenberg and his printing press. And his invention and his heart was to produce what he called the sweetest liquor that will flow from it and glorify God. He was talking about the Bible. His heart was to invest what he had into this printing press to touch the world, to contribute rather than just consume, to hide what you have or to bury it. Now, we run into some problems here if we don't know, first of all, who has given us what we have. You have to understand that our talents, our shape, our abilities, experiences, God has given us these things. The first and second is, why did He give it to us? To invest into His kingdom. So, question to us, or maybe a struggle we have, are you investing into God's kingdom? Or are you wasting it? When the master returned in this parable, who did the servant give the profit to? It says the king bag doesn't necessarily exactly say, but here, master, you gave me five, and I give you five more back. The guy says two. Okay, you only had two. But I'm giving you two more back. They're returning it to the master. But what did the master do? He's saying, well done, good and faithful servant. What you have given me, now I give back to you and come and share in my happiness. It's like this reinvestment circle. God says, here you are. This is what I give you. Now you go and you invest it. And then we give it back to God. But God says, that's great. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll give it back to you. And you invest it again. This is a kingdom investment mentality. Well done, good and faithful servant. But if we're just investing for ourselves, if we do the whole secular world cycle thing, number one goal, to get money. Why? For myself. So I can get a house. Not a small house. Big house. And later on, a bigger house. And then my kids leave and I got a huge house and nobody's in it. Two cars, a garage. I get all this stuff. I'm investing for myself. God says that's a waste. It's not investing into the kingdom. Are you investing into the kingdom? God giving to you, you giving back to Him, and Him giving it right back to you to do it again. I'm going to give you more. Or, what did the third servant do with his gift? He hid it. He buried it in the ground. Why? I kind of understand the third servant because he was afraid. Fact is, some of us, myself, we hide our talents. We hide what God has given us. We bury it. And we waste it. And so the second problem comes, it's not that we're not investing in the kingdom, it's the fact that we're not investing at all. Some of us are not investing at all. We're hiding it. We're burying it. We are afraid. Why? Why was he afraid? Why are we afraid? And I was thinking about this, and I'd like us just to examine some different things. And you need to examine your own life, but some things that come up. Let's see where we come up here. There we go. One, because we're afraid we will fail. And we will be punished for our failure in some way. You know, a lot of times I struggle with this just as a pastor, as a Christian. Man, I need to invest, and God has called me to invest. But man, what if I fail? What if I just totally screw it up? But God has really said to me, He says, Kurt, don't focus on what you can't do, but focus on what you can do, and I will use it. Don't focus on what you can't do and the possible problems you're going to have. Focus on what you can do and do it. And God's saying, I will use it. If we hide what we got, God can't use it. If we have an offering to give and we don't give it, God can't use it. I need a volunteer. Joseph, he's got some carpentry skills. Can you come on up here? Okay? God has given me this sort of angle saw. I didn't bring the 45 degree or right angle part that goes with it. I just grabbed the quickest saw I could get. God has given me this resource. And I got some wood here. And I found over in the church, and I need Joseph to cut this wood. Okay, I need to cut it right down the middle. But I decide that I'm hiding my saw. And I tell Joseph, please cut the wood, Joseph. And can you show him your face? Okay. Like, what are you thinking? You have the resource, but you're not giving it to me. Thank you, Joseph. Joseph's like, why'd you make me come up here? Okay. I also have... I'll take Nick today. Nick, he shot me yesterday, so I'll make him come up here. I don't know how he shot me, but many people shot me. Okay, I gotta find... I have a hammer! Okay? And Nick, he has a nail. Show him the nail. And I need him to put those two together with that nail. Okay? Okay, so nail that in, Nick. And I don't want to share my hammer. I'm going to hide my hammer. What do you think Nick's thinking? Get my shoe off? Okay, probably not going to work. Thank you, Nick. An offering that is not offered can't be used. And a lot of times, you guys, you have stuff to offer, but you're not offering it. It's not a matter if we fail, it's a matter about are we offering it or not. You at least got to get to the first step. If you don't offer it, of course you're not going to have any failure, are you? But you're not going to have any return or investment. You'll be wasting it. A lot of times we are afraid because we'll look foolish or embarrassed. How many of you like to look foolish or embarrassed? Yeah, it just doesn't feel good. I remember one time I was in Lexington in seminary. I might have told this story before, but we would go out and we would share with people on the street about Jesus, and there were some young kids there, and there was this pillar, okay, and it set up a gate in between, made out of bricks, and there were pillars along. And these kids were talking, I went up and started talking with them, sharing, hey guys, what you doing? And they're like, well, we're thinking about how can I, if we could jump up on this pillar and sit up there. I'm like, whoa, that's pretty tall, you know, and they're like, can you do it? Can you do it? And these guys, I'm like, hey man, maybe I can do it. You know, God has actually given me some leaps. This is back when I was 25, okay? No leaps anymore. I can barely get off my toes. I'm thinking, man, I could do this, or I could like hit the side of it, bam, and like fall back. I'm going to look totally foolish. Finally, I said, hey, if I don't go for it, you know, they're not going to entertain me anymore. So I ran and I jumped up and I like looked sky. I jumped completely over it and landed in the bushes on the other side. You talk about looking foolish. But you know what? It is, sometimes you're going to look foolish. Are you willing to make that investment and possibly look a little foolish? Another one is we're afraid that others will hurt us. This is a lot that I cannot stand this in the church. When someone comes and they offer their gift, and then everybody's like, man, whoa, that was terrible, that was bad. I'm like, well, what about you? You're sitting out there. You're not even trying. And you want to comment on them? That drives me nuts. You know? Don't be knocking others until you actually go and do it. And then I still wouldn't encourage you to knock others. But be careful. It really hurts. You know what? And until we're transparent, you know, people cannot see us. He closed that window. Look at the beautiful day. Look at God's creation. That is awesome. But if we decide not to be transparent and share, we don't get to see anything. If you are not transparent, people do not see Jesus. I'm not saying you got to reveal everything, like my underwear sizes, you know. I'm saying that in many ways, we need to be a bit more transparent so people can see how God has used our experiences, how God has shaped us through difficult times, so people can see Jesus. You can open the window if you want again. Everybody, don't look outside though. You know, a lot of times we are afraid that we'll fail or we won't be perfect. And a lot of times we got to break out of that perfection mode. But I think most of all is this idea, especially with us, is pleasing our parents. And what if I fail my parents? I mean, they want me to be a lawyer, doctor, engineer, businessman, get a lot of money. That's what they want. And if I do that, they will be happy. But God is not calling us to make people happy. He's calling us to invest what we have for God's glory and to best serve Him. to invest. You know, when we do things out of our own abilities and the own way we want to do it, it pats ourselves on the back. And some of us, we just need to deal with that. We like pats on the back from ourselves. Did you see what I did? But if we're using what God has given us in God's ways, it pats Him on the back. And if we can imagine patting God on the back. I don't know if I can imagine that. But to give the glory to Him is what I'm saying. Use what we have to invest it for Him. Don't let fear rob God. I would have to say many times in my life, fear has robbed God. And I'm not investing my life, but I've been hiding it. I've been burying it. Don't let selfishness rob God. That all I do is for me, and my investment is for me, instead of into the kingdom of God and for eternity. When I was in Taiwan, I did a lot of counseling. For some reason, God has given me a gift of discernment and understanding. When I speak with people, I can ask them a few questions and quickly decipher what the root issue is that is causing disruptions or problems. And in Taiwan, we would counsel many. And the stories that I heard broke my heart. This is stuff that you would see in these weird, weird movies. And I would think over and over again of why did that happen? How did that happen? And is anything I'm saying helping them? From that experience, I really chose, and I remember having the conversation with God, and God, this is just crushing my heart. I know you've given me this gift to help people, but I don't want to use it anymore. I do not want to use it anymore. And for 6 months, I buried it. For 6 months, I put an off-limit sign on myself to God. I said, I'm not going back there. And I started to really understand God was revealing to me how it grieved Him. He also revealed to me, if you don't use the gift, I'm going to take it away from you. If you have buried it, this is not going to be good. And so I came to the Lord and I repented and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. This is very selfish. I was investing just for me. I don't want anything for God's people or for God's kingdom or for their life and eternity forever. I just want to be safe. I want to play it safe. Got any safe players out there? And I said, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I will use my gift again if you want me to. Bam. A few days later, woman comes in. My wife and I counseled to her, able to identify after 6 sessions the areas and minister healing. She was very much healed. She came out of a lifestyle that was pretty nasty. Changed around. She to make a long story short, she just called me about 3 weeks ago asking me to do her marriage in England in October. She has come out. And you know, if I hid my gift, and I don't use gift. Gift in the Bible is a term for grace. It's a grace of God given. If I don't use God's grace given to me, people would not be set free. They would not have a taste of eternity, life, and life to the fullest that they could have. And you are the same way. You have gifts. God has given you different things, and you need to give it back to Him and invest it. Not to hide the saw, not to hide the hammer. We can't get work done. Because God has created you as His workmanship to do good works, which He's arranged before you were ever born. And He knows how you will help others. The points to ponder. Are you investing in the kingdom of God? Two, are you investing at all? Or are you hiding what you have and burying it? Let's pray. Jesus, I ask that you would continue to challenge people. To ask, God, who are you? And God, who am I? What do you want me to do? And then how do you want me to really use my shape to do it? Some of us are funny and humorous and we think, God couldn't use that, but He can. Some of us are serious and God can use that. Some of us are extroverts and introverts. Some of us have gifts of prophecy or healing or encouragement. But because of the society or culture we live in, we choose to hide it. Some of us are just busy and the vacuum is running and we can't even hear God or what He wants to say to us because we're always running, always going. And that can even be in the church. We're serving, serving, and serving. But God is saying, hey, over here, this person, because I know your experience you had, and this person has the same experience, and when you talk to them, they will be set free. And we shut off the vacuum for a minute. And we stop running around and ask God, what are your priorities for me? How have you shaped me? And show me now where to run. Show me who I need to speak with. And God, to you be the glory. To you be the praise forever and ever. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.